RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first day headlines. Indonesian palm oil output seen rising for fourth straight month. Indonesian government to disburse delayed regional grants in December. Public Works and Public Housing Ministry to work on three new dams. Now the news in detail. Indonesia's crude palm oil CPO output likely rose for a fourth straight month in August, according to a Reuters survey, continuing to recover as the impact from a drought fades. CPO production likely climbed 1% to 2,833 million metric tons in August from 2,802 million metric tons in July, according to the median estimate in a survey of three industry associations. A state palm research firm and one of Indonesia's largest planters. Indonesia is the world's top producer of palm oil, used in everything from chocolate to cosmetics and biofuels, with the country's output levels closely scrutinized in edible oil markets. Domestic consumption remained stable at around 1 million metric tons, while stocks declined 9% to 1.7 million metric tons. Previous GAPKI numbers showed the country exported 1.60 million metric tons of palm oil and palm kernel oil in July. Its August data is not yet available. The August survey comprises responses from GAPKI, the Indonesian Palm Oil Board, the Indonesian Oil Palm Research Institute, and Sinarmas Agro Resources and Technology, one of Indonesia's largest listed palm oil companies. The Indonesian government will disburse some of the overdue general purpose grants in December, especially for regions where the delay significantly affected regional budgets, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati has promised. Sri Mulyani said her ministry, along with Home Affairs Ministry, would tightly monitor the disbursement of General Purpose Grants, or DAU funds, in a bid to minimize negative impacts on local economies. To maintain healthy fiscal conditions for the revised 2016 state budget, the government decided to delay the distribution of 19.4 trillion rupiah, $1.46 billion US dollar in DAU funds. The move affected 169 regions, including 26 provinces, 11 regencies, and 26 cities. 42 of them would see 50% of their general purpose grants transfers delayed, totaling 8.5 trillion rupiah. Meanwhile, 42 other regions would have 40% of their DAU transfers postponed, amounting to 8.3 trillion rupiah, and another 42 areas would see 30% of their DAU funds, totaling 3.7 trillion rupiah, deferred. The remaining 43 regions will see only 20% of their DAU funds delayed, amounting to 1.9 trillion rupiah. The Public Works and Public Housing Ministry expected to start the construction process of three dams by the end of this year. The three dams are the Kuil Kawangkoan Dam in North Sulawesi, the Ladongi Dam in Southeast Sulawesi, and the Wei Sekampung Dam in Lampung. Santoso explained that contract signing process for the construction of Ladongi Dam and Wei Sekampung Dam are planned to be done next week. Meanwhile, the construction contract for Kuil Kawangkoan has already been signed. The Kuil Kawangkoan Dam and the Ladongi Dam would require 1.51 trillion rupiah investment and 907 billion rupiah respectively. The ministry is also in the process of completing the construction of several dams in regions across Indonesia, including the Teritip Dam in East Kalimantan, the Bajulmati Dam in East Java, and the Payasenara Dam in Aceh. Around 3,000 Malaysian visitors came to Wonderful Indonesia Festival 2016 in Sajingan, Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province, in today's September 17 and 18. The festival was held by Indonesian Ministry of Tourism in cooperation with the Indonesian Consulate General in Kuching, Malaysia. The Indonesian Consul General in Kuching, Jahar Kultom, said the festival was the biggest due to its number of visitors compared to four previous festivals.
Kegiatan yang sekarang adalah kegiatan yang paling besar, yang paling banyak dikunjungi oleh warga Malaysia.
This is the biggest festival, perhaps the first festival visited by Malaysian Minister of Tourism. On this day, there are around 2,000 visitors. Yesterday, there were around 1,000 visitors. Besides tourism promotion, the festival promotes also the friendship between the Malaysian and Indonesian citizens in the border areas. It could improve their social relationship.
Selain memang promosi pariwisata, saya kira kegiatan ini juga meningkatkan level hubungan kita, jadi meningkatkan hubungan silaturahmi, hubungan kekeluargaan warga kita yang tinggal di perbatasan. Jadi memang ini tidak 100% hanya untuk pariwisata, tapi saya melihat lebih daripada itu juga meningkatkan hubungan yang lebih baik lagi, yang lebih padat lagi, hubungan sosial, hubungan kemasyarakatan antar masyarakat kita di perbatasan ini.
The Festival of Wonderful Indonesia was also enlivened by hundreds of high CC motorcycles led by Minister of the Malaysian State of Sarawak, Datuk Amar Abang Zohari. According to Jahar, the presence of the Sarawak minister showed the spirit of Indonesia and Malaysia to support each other in the tourism field. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesians have declared 117.3 trillion rupiah or $8.9 billion of assets held in Singapore under the government's tax amnesty, though only a small proportion of that figure has been brought back home, Indonesia's finance ministry said recently. Of the total Singapore assets declared to the Indonesian government as of September 15, only 14.1 trillion rupiah, or about 12%, has been repatriated. Under the amnesty launched in June, Indonesians can pay a tax rate starting at 4% on declared assets that they choose to leave overseas. Indonesia is banking on securing 165 trillion rupiah of tax revenue from the amnesty, which would help offset traditionally poor tax collection rates while keeping the budget deficit under a mandated 3% threshold. In an indicator that the collection program might be faltering, Indonesia's finance ministry earlier this week removed a progress bar it was using to compare amounts received against the 165 trillion rupiah target from the website it set up to provide information on the tax amnesty. In its fifth year, Gandrung Sewu Festival at the Boom Beach in Banyuwangi, East Java, captivated thousands of tourists from across Indonesia and abroad. Yanuar Bramuda, head of tourism and culture at Banyuwangi District Government, said 1,300 Gandrung dancers performed along the Bali Strait with the sunset as their backdrop. The event, held this weekend, has become a tourism attraction with visitors swarming to the area and high hotel occupancy rates. The Gandrung Sewu or Thousand Dancers Festival adapted the Seblang Lukinto theme as a sequel to last year's festival. retelling the story of the Blambangan Kingdom's struggle against colonizers from 1776 to 1810. The dancers performed with their fan instruments, circling the performance arena and forming in lines and in circles as they continued to move in a smart rhythm that exhibits grace and poise. The performers moved to the banging of gamelan and angklung, or traditional Indonesian instruments. District Head Abdullah Azwar Anas said, "The performance is more than just a show. It's cultural consolidation and preserve art and culture for all." The last item. North Sumatra Taekwondo Indonesia officials have set a gold medal target for the 2016 National Games, or PON, in Bandung, West Java. The four athletes are Basuki Nugroho for the men's under 87 kilograms category, Arya Hamdani for men's over 87 kilograms, Hardiona for men's under 54 kilograms, and Anna Nurjana Umi for women's under 46 kilograms. Taekwondo Indonesia's North Sumatra chairman, Meher Bansyah, during the sending off of the province's Taekwondo contingent on Sunday, that promised an additional bonus worth 20 million rupiah, or $1,520.05 for any athletes which could earn a gold medal for the province. Medan Mayor Zulmi Eldin, local consultative forum Muspida members, and TI, or Taekwondo Indonesia North Sumatra officials, also attended the event. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia palm oil output seen rising for four straight months. Indonesian government to disburse delayed regional grants in December. Public Works and Public Housing Ministry to work on three new dams. That was the news.
Here's our commentary for today entitling Improving National Sports Achievement. The four-yearly National Sports Week is being held again. The 19th National Games was officially opened by President Joko Widodo at Bandung Lautan Api Stadium Gede Bage, Bandung, West Java on Saturday. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said the athletes who displays good performance in the event would become a mainstay in the face of the SEA Games 2017 and Asian Games 2018. According to the president, the National Sport Week is a national sports coaching arena. Therefore, the competition should be encouraged from villages, districts, cities, up to all provinces in Indonesia, so there will be a lot of potential national athletes to be obtained. Admittedly, Indonesian athletes' performance in the arena of international sports competition is less prominent. Like in the 2016 Summer Olympics held in Rio de Janeiro in August, of the 28 Indonesian athletes competing in 7 sport events, only 1 gold medal was obtained from badminton and 2 silver medals from weightlifting. In the 2015 SEA Games in Singapore, Indonesian athletes' performance was even still less than Thailand's, which was the overall champion. While in fact, when viewed from the population and economic power, Indonesia, with population of more than 200 million abundant natural resources, is a dominant country in Southeast Asia. Of course, Indonesia's lack of sporting achievements has become homework, not only for the government, but also the people of Indonesia. In addition, it takes a strong synergy between government and stakeholders to improve Indonesia's sports performance. Some of the internal conflicts that often occur in the national sports organization are suspected to be the cause of the deteriorations in the country's sports achievements. No less important is the availability of sufficient funds for the development of sports in Indonesia. To produce superior athletes would require substantial funds. Achievements and financial supports are two things that cannot be separated. Achievement will be present if the government provides sufficient financial support for coaching athletes, like the construction of sports facilities. Hopefully, what was stated by President Joko Widodo in his speech at the opening of the 19th National Games in Singapore last Saturday can be realized. With the support of the government, stakeholders, and the public, National sports achievement may be further increased and bring out the name of Indonesia in international sport. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to daily segment of Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We begin with an event that happened on September 19, 1945. It's about giant meeting at Ikada Square, Jakarta. An important meeting which happened on 19 September 1945, which was a giant meeting at Ikada Square, now becomes the national monument, Monas Square. At that time, the Indonesian government will deliver to the international world the proclamation of the Indonesia's independence on August 17, 1945 by Soekarno-Hatta at Jalan Pegangsaan Timur 56, Jakarta. The historical moment was the desire of the entire nation of Indonesia. So the giant meeting was held and participated by thousands of people from Jakarta and surrounding areas. The activity which was held on 19 September 1945 was known by Japanese government, so that in the night of 19 September 1945, cars, tanks and panzer belonging to Japan reached back and forth on the roads throughout the city. Japan also prohibited any meetings for the sake of public order and tranquility. Although blocked by Japanese soldiers, the meeting still be held even though facing all consequences. The giant meeting at Ikada Square has important meaning for the Indonesian nation. Among others, people support the newly formed government to embody the authority of Indonesian government, as well as instill confidence that the Indonesian people are able to change the destiny by their own strength. The next event was in 1955 when Juan Domingo Perón was overthrown. Juan Domingo Perón was an Argentine lieutenant general and politician. After serving in several government positions, including Minister of Labor and Vice President, he was thrice elected President of Argentina, serving from June 1946 to September 1955, when he was overthrown in a coup d'etat, and then from October 1973 until his death in July 1974. During his first presidential term in 1946 to 1952, Perón was supported by his second wife Eva Duarte or Evita Perón, and the two were immensely popular among many Argentines. Eva died in 1952 and Perón was elected to a second term, serving from 1952 until 1955. During the following period of two military dictatorships, interrupted by two civilian governments, the Peronist Party was outlawed and Perón was exiled. When the left-wing Peronist Hector Campora was elected president in 1973, Perón returned to Argentina and was soon after elected president for a third time. His third wife, Maria Estela Martinez, known as Isabel Perón, was elected as vice president on his ticket and succeeded him as president upon his death in 1974. And the last event on September 19, 1983, St. Kitts and Nevis gained its independence from Great Britain. St. Kitts and Nevis Federation is a federation state of two islands, which is located on Leeward Islands, Caribbean. St. Kitts Island has become colony of Great Britain since 1624 and Nevis Island since 1628. On 19 September 1983, St. Kitts and Nevis become a free state. This country is the smallest state in American continent. The capital city and the central federal government was St. Kitts Island. Nevis Island, which is smaller authority, has a distance around 3 kilometers at the southern of St. Kitts. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, here is our focus for today entitling Indonesia once again calls NAM to support Palestinian independence. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi attended the ministerial meeting of the Non-Aligned Movement Countries, or NAM, in Margarita Island, Venezuela, September 15, 2016. The meeting was also participated by member countries of the NAM Committee on Palestine, namely Algeria, Bangladesh, Colombia, Cuba, Egypt, India, Malaysia, Palestine, Senegal, South Africa, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. During the meeting, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi expressed Indonesia's continued support of the Palestinian struggle. Palestine is expected to become an independent and sovereign state with its capital in East Jerusalem. Minister Retno stressed the importance of support from all members of NAM that the Palestinian peace process soon resume. In this regard, Indonesia fully supports the French government initiative to restart the peace process. Indonesia is one of the 28 countries who attended the meeting held by France on June 3, 2016. Indonesia also boosted the role of Track 2, including civil society's organization, to strengthen support for the peace process. Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized that different processes and the initiatives undertaken to support the peace process in Palestine should be supported. She also said the international community needs to give greater pressure on Israel to immediately stop human rights violations that have been committed against the Palestinian people. The minister said Israel must also halt the illegal construction of settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories. Minister Retno insisted that Israel must not be allowed to enjoy the economic benefits of the area of occupation. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, one of form of tangible support Indonesia, among others, hosted the extraordinary summit of five member countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, on Palestine and Al-Quds and Al-Sharif in March 2016. Meanwhile, quoting a report in the website of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad Al-Maliki again stressed his appreciation for the ongoing contribution of Indonesia to support the independence of Palestine. That was Focus. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
Welcome to News in Brief. Indonesia's crude palm oil CPO output likely rose for a fourth straight month in August, according to Reuters survey, continuing to recover as the impact from a drought fades. CPO production likely climbed 1% to 2,833 million metric tons in August, from 2,802 million metric tons in July. The Indonesian government will disburse some of the overdue general-purpose grants in December, especially for regions where the delays significantly affected regional budgets, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati has promised. Sri Mulyani said her ministry, along with the Home Affairs Ministry, would tightly monitor the disbursement of general-purpose grants funds in a bid to minimize negative impacts on local economies. The Public Works and Public Housing Ministry expected to start the construction process of three dams by the end of this year. The three dams are the Kuil Kawangkoan Dam in North Sulawesi, the Ladongi Dam in Southeast Sulawesi, and the Wei Sekampung Dam in Lampung. Around 3,000 Malaysian visitors came to Wonderful Indonesia Festival 2016 in Sajingan, Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province, in 2 days, September 17 and 18. The festival was held by the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism in cooperation with the Indonesian Consulate General in Kuching, Malaysia. Indonesians have declared 117.3 trillion rupiah or $8.9 billion of assets held in Singapore under the government's tax amnesty, though only a small proportion of that figure has been brought back home, Indonesia's finance ministry said recently. In its fifth year, Gandrung Sewu Festival at the Boom Beach in Banyuwangi, East Java, captivated thousands of tourists from across Indonesia and abroad. Yanuar Bramuda, head of tourism and culture at Banyuwangi District Government, said 1,300 Gandrung dancers perform along the Bali Strait with the sunset as their backdrop. North Sumatra Taekwondo Indonesia officials have set a gold medal. Have set a gold medal target for the 2016 National Games PON in Bandung, West Java. The four athletes are Basuki Nugroho for the men's under 87 kilograms category, Arya Hamdani for men's over 87 kilograms, Hardiona for men's under 54 kilograms, and Anna Nurjana Umi for women's under 46 kilograms. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to West Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listeners, Lombok Island is one of tourist destinations in Indonesia. There are many well-known tourist destinations in Lombok. There is one of area in Lombok where even Lombok people do not know yet. It is Ringgit Bay. Listeners, geographic condition of East Lombok is generally hilly and has karst cliffs. Like at Ringgit Bay, there are cluster of karst cliffs, which is spread long and zigzag. The shape of those cliffs is cut like valley. Those cliffs directly border with Indian Ocean. From above, tourists can see beautiful sea panorama. Cluster of coral reefs can be seen behind bluish green of seawater. Ringgit Bay has some places which can be visited besides cliff and beach. Sharply under the cliff, there is fresh water well, even though at the edge of the sea. Besides, at the eastern side, there is a historical cave of Javanese heritage, namely Besar Cave. According to the history, there is fresh water pool in the cave. At Ringgit Bay, there is also another Javanese heritage, namely Canon. Ringgit Bay is located at the southeast of Lombok Island. The bay is at Jerowaru Sub-District is Lombok Regency. Ringgit Bay has a distance around 85 kilometers from Mataram. The location of the bay can be accessed by using your own vehicle or rented car because there is no public transportation to Ringgit Bay. Location of Ringgit Bay is quite far. Because of that, if you visit this place, you feel like at your own private place. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Ringgit Bay. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Makan di Restoran Padang, which in English means eating at Padang Restaurant. Padang Restaurant is a restaurant that serves typical foods from West Sumatra. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice, slowly, and you can repeat after me. Di restoran. Di restoran, which means at the restaurant. Lapar. Lapar. Be hungry. Haus. Haus. Be thirsty. Makan. Makan. To eat. Sekarang. Sekarang, now. Makan siang. Makan siang. Lunch. Suka. Suka. To like. Makanan Eropa. Makanan Eropa. European food. Makanan Indonesia. Makanan Indonesia. Indonesian food. Lebih suka. Lebih suka. Prefer. Pedas. Pedas, spicy, sambal, sambal, condiment, pesan, pesan, to order, nasi, nasi, rice, sangat enak, very delicious, pasti, pasti, surely, mencoba, mencoba, to try. Listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled Makan di Restoran Padang, or in English means eating at Padang Restaurant. The conversation is between A. Sandy and B. Budi at a restaurant. A. Sandy, saya lapar. Saya lapar, which means I'm hungry. B. Budi, saya bukan hanya lapar, tetapi juga haus. Saya bukan hanya lapar, tetapi juga haus. Which means, I'm not only hungry, but also thirsty. A. Sandy, yang penting sekarang kita harus makan siang. Yang penting sekarang kita harus makan siang. Which means, we have to get lunch right now. B. Budi, kamu suka makan makanan Eropa atau makanan-makanan Indonesia? Kamu suka makanan Eropa atau makan makanan Indonesia? Which means, do you like to eat European food or Indonesian food? A. Sandi, saya lebih suka makan makanan Indonesia. Saya lebih suka makan makanan Indonesia, which means I prefer to eat Indonesian food. B. Budi, apakah kamu suka pedas? Apakah kamu suka pedas? Which means, do you like spicy? A. Sandi, ya, saya suka pedas. Ya, saya suka pedas, which means, yes, I do. I like spicy. Saya suka sambal. Saya suka sambal, which means, I also like condiment. B. Budi, kalau begitu, kamu pesan makanan di restoran Padang saja. Kalau begitu, kamu pesan makanan di restoran Padang saja, which means, so, you just order your meal at Padang restaurant. Karena makanannya pedas. Karena makanannya pedas, which means, because the food is spicy. Makanan di restoran Padang sangat enak. Makanan di restoran Padang sangat enak, which means, the food in Padang restaurant is very delicious. Kamu pasti suka. Kamu pasti suka, which means you surely like it. A. Sandi, baiklah, saya akan mencobanya. Baiklah, saya akan mencobanya, which means alright, I will try it. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to the Indonesian female singer, Mami Marsudi. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Melati Pesanku by Mami Marsudi. Happy listening.
Oh,
Listener, the song Melati Pesanku is the Kroncong original song, which was composed by Sutejo in the era of Indonesian struggle. The song tells about a woman who took off her lover's departure to fight for the state independence. The struggle for the nation and the state is described as white jasmine, sparkling like pearls. Despite it is difficult to get her beloved far away, she had to let him go. Listener, Mami Marsudi or Prasitoresmi was an Indonesian singer who has a melodious and plaintive voice. Besides a kroncong singer, Mami Marsudi also better known as a dancer. Her talent, especially in dancing and singing, has delivered her to various countries as an ambassador for the cultural mission. Mami Marsudi firstly knew the kroncong music when her husband Marsudi brought her a kroncong cassette, which was given by the manager of Central Java Platform, Taman Mini Indonesia Indah, in 1983. She likes one of the songs in the cassette entitled Sekuntum Bunga di Puncak Giri. Just with the song, she began to follow kroncong singing contest and won the contest. After that, Mami joined a kroncong music orchestra. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sekuntum Bunga di Puncak Giri by Mami Marsudi. Happy listening.
Kasihku jauh di utara, bukit-bukit yang curam. Oh, manisku, manisku, rindu padamu. Kasihku jauh di seberang sana, bila kau
listener, the song Sekuntum Bunga di Puncak Giri is only an allegory of love that has not been accomplished. Just can enjoy the beauty and admire it from the distance. Mamik Marsudi's figure in Kroncong music widely supported by her mother. Mamik, together with the Kroncong group of her mother, took audition in TVRI and finally brought Mamik to the screen in the program called Wajah Baru or Rising Star. Her Kroncong singing ability depended on the environmental conditions. She has ever learned traditional Javanese dance under the guidance of dancing maestro Retno Maruti. At the time, Mami also learned to sing Javanese traditional song. The style to sing Javanese song made she easier to sing Kroncong. The support and guidance from Budiman BJ increasingly very helpful Mami in her capacity as a singer, especially increasing her confidence. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Sepenggal Harapan by Mamik Marsudi. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
semoga kau hidup bahagia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.